I take it everyone's had a chance to read the missive we received from our friends at the State Planning Office. Not quite sure how to proceed, frankly, after what I read. Mr. Lang, can you kind of give us an update on maybe what's been taking place since we received this letter? What the plan for...
Well, what's, we got the letter on the 23rd, which was last Thursday. We received on Thursday. Other than we did receive a draft, and they did make a few corrections. On the 24th, we also went to the Livable Delaware Advisory Council. I think I said that right.
25th.
On Friday, the 25th. And gave a short presentation and asked for a 60-day time extension to give us time to make a decision on the plan. And then the state offered us 6 months. And actually, the advisory council approved it to be 6 months. And we still, through Dave Baker and staff, feel that it can be done in 60 days. And that's the council's wishes to be done within 60 days. That it would go back, hopefully within that time frame, and get consideration for approval. Okay. I don't know if Rick can add it. Rick didn't get to go up the other day, but it was a Dave did a short presentation and asked a few questions, and we responded, and that's where we are, pretty much.
Okay, are the suggested addendum for consideration, is that a result of this letter here, and are these recommendations or suggestions supposed to fix these things in the letter, or?
Well, we had actually worked on these for the last, since all of April, pretty much.
Okay.
We've been giving considerations to other addendums that we could provide that would provide for example, the Energy Star and the LED certifications, bonus densities, the green community, which we've discussed several times at the commission level, just for, you know, what is a green community, which is environmentally sensitive. Wastewater treatment, there was some consideration how to revise those sections.
Right.
And you note that it's highlighted that the Energy Star certification references developing areas. The LAED certification references town centers only and as a conditional use. The density bonus for cluster development would be in town centers. And the green community certification would be for projects in environmentally sensitive developing areas.
These are intended to be incentives that would help address one of the items of the letter.
That's right.
I guess that's what I'm getting at. Is
I think what's going to happen is the consultant, in conjunction with county staff, is going to prepare a response to the letter, much like was done to the initial plus letter.
Right.
So there'll be a response prepared on behalf of Mr. Baker back to Connie Holland's office in response to her letter. And whatever is included in that letter would be appropriately changed in the plan. For example, the 7 incentives that are on this suggested addendum would be included in the revised plan, much like suggested changes were incorporated into the plan as a result of the response to the initial letter from the state.
Okay.
So I think that's the intent on how to respond. And I guess what we're looking for is an endorsement, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it, of these 7 incentives.
Okay.
To be incorporated into the plan. And then we'll deal with the response to the letter at a later date.
At some point, all of this has to find its way into the plan, right? I mean, it's going to have to be in the plan.
The plan that you're considering, right?
In the plan, yeah, yeah, in the plan we're considering. So we really don't have the, we don't have that yet, I guess, is where we're, what we're saying.
And there's editorial changes that need to be made. These changes need to be made soon so that we can bring it back to you for recommendation
okay.
to the council.
Well, all right, I'm okay with that. Well, I think we can certainly deal with these seven items if that's what we need to do. I'm sure we can get it done. It's just a matter of getting it done. I don't know of any reason why we can't get it done in the 60 days. That's what we need to do. You know, yes, sir, Mr. Burton. Let's
see if I understand the problem. This is the state's response to the entire comp plan. Letter we just read.
Which includes right. the revisions that were made as a result of the initial set of comments, the 80-page set of comments.
It's down to this.
It's down to
it's
this.
It's down to this. Okay.
And this
yeah.
is your response
to
this.
That. In part, that's
okay.
yes.
Yeah, as Mr.
There'll
Tyler be, is volunteering to show us.
It's, okay. There'll be more.
Right.
Based on what the consultant comes up with in conjunction with staff. But
okay.
Until that point, this is what we have.
All right, so get from point A.
This is a response to the response.
Yes.
Right, and then there'll be
yes.
a response to the response to the response, followed by a response to the response to the response to the response.
Part C.
Okay, I understand now.
And these items in front of us today are what we need to get from point A to point B here, or from point
seven.
Point C to point D,
the
whatever
two
it is.
Page.
Yeah, this two page. So let's start with that and get
the consensus.
That's what we need to do.
But you know, just for informational purposes, and you already have been made aware of it, that the state resource areas will not be a part of the plan.
Right.
But we have to look at we have to include in the plan a map that shows natural areas.
There's another map. So, yeah, I read that.
Different map.
Right. So we just
somewhat different.
We still need a map, but it just won't be the one that.
And URDC is putting that
together. And URDC is working on that. They've already been in contact with Office of State Planning on what maps to include or not include or revise. And essentially anything dealing with SRAs will be deleted, but there will be references to natural areas and other important resources of the state and the county.
Okay.
So that's being taken care of by the consultant.
All right. Well, that takes care of item number one, then. Does anybody on the commission have an issue with the way that's being pursued? You're all right there?
You don't Council, have a choice on number one. I mean, that's what all that...
Yeah.
Right, that's a given.
Can we address these seven items by consensus?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
Because right. you're going to be actually acted on the plan formally, you know, once it's finalized.
Right, once
yeah.
it's finalized.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well,
on draft form, I should say.
We're making some progress today, though. We get the development area map done and see what we got here. The Energy Star Certification Building Permit Incentive. Possible partial building permit rebate for Energy Star certified projects in developing areas. And this is to answer which of the concerns that the state raised?
One of the concerns expressed by the state is that how do we get development to go within the developing areas?
Okay. This is more into trying to have a more predictable pattern of development then, which is
exactly.
what they appear to be asking us for.
And so rather than have specific disincentives in certain areas, the goal is to create a set of incentives to encourage development within okay. what we've defined as county developed growth areas.
Okay.
Described here as developing areas or town centers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So each of these relate to that. And obviously some of these are going to be more, require significantly more development and consideration. For example, the green community certification relates to a evolving state program that other communities and other states have developed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the exact nature of it yet because it's still being developed,
right.
but we know that the state is in the process of doing that, and Same thing with the LEED certification. There is a defined program that relates to that. We need to explore it in more detail as to how exactly it will work.
Yeah, what?
But there are good ideas related to it, and it can work as an incentive.
Yeah, the Energy Star program, as far as I understand it, I think is not difficult to comply with from an administrative point of view. That is not true with the LEED program.
Right.
The LEED program can be very expensive for someone to get something certified, and I suspect it's not going to be worth it with LEED. But it's certainly a step in the right direction to at least have something that acknowledges that it's out there. But we might want to take a look at that and find a way to make it. What's happening, and I haven't been involved in very many, but the LEED program, LEED projects that I am involved in are not necessarily going for LEED certification. They're doing all the things that you need to do, but the process of getting certified and the building commissioning can cost $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, and unless it's a, you know, I don't know how that would.
And that is a tiered program also.
Yes,
so
it is.
That you get,
yes, it is.
Depending on
which level you're going
you
for.
Do,
yeah.
You get more credits if you do one thing,
sure,
than you do if you do something else. And mm-hmm. And depending, and it could very well be created so that depending on what level of certification you get, you may get one type of bonus.
Well,
but
I think
if
it's
you
worth
do
exploring.
Something else, you get a different kind, yeah, of bonus.
Certainly worth exploring, and it will be good for the environment, and I think it should be restricted to certain areas.
So it wouldn't be countywide. It would,
right,
be.
Do it, and that will help direct development. Okay, this number two, as far as the Energy Star, yes, sir.
Is this proven to work in other states?
Well, the Energy Star, for example.
As far as directing development?
I don't know that anybody can answer that. I think what I would say is that we're using this as our incentives to encourage development, because these won't be available from the county outside of the developing areas.
Yeah, but I think it could work. It could have a positive effect.
It's the bundle of things.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think.
Any,
yeah, I think
one.
You have to look at everything all together. But
you get all of these if you do this, or could get all of these if you do it in the developing growth areas.
And it has been, if the bundle has been proven to work in other areas in directing development, it's great that we think it's an incentive, but is it?
I don't think anybody knows.
I don't think we can give you a...
I mean, it's not a Maryland run.
I'm not familiar with anything, and I mean, Maryland has an altogether different approach to how to control,
exactly,
development. Trust me. And there again, there are... There are good people on both sides of that issue, but okay, bring that up here. Set it on the guy. This is the second time it's second time it's gone off.
Tune.
So you can have it after class.
Any incentive, I think any incentive that a developer would save money would possibly push them to the time centers.
If it's enough.
Well, if you give them more than just one.
Well, that's why I think you need a bundle of stuff. You,
yeah,
kind of need a, you know, we're kind of focusing on the carrot here, okay? And before it's over, we may need a stick. But, you know, but I think right now this is certainly.
And the other thing to keep in mind, these are seven that we've talked about in addition to what's already in the plan.
I understand.
Okay, that we added as a result of the earlier set of comments. So this is not to be taken isolated as just, well, what are you going to get out of Energy Star? It's Energy Star, LEED,
right,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, plus the other stuff.
And they're going to take ordinances, et cetera, to be able to put them to implement them.
Right.
We're just trying to, that we would include that as an addendum into the plan with reference, but it's
right,
going to be require ordinances.
Well, as I've said before, the best thing we did this time around was requiring the consultant to do the ordinances right along with the plan, so we get them and we can act on them and put them in place, so.
That's what we thought we did last time, too.
Yeah, I know, but it didn't, which we have a different consultant this time, too. So, funny how that worked. Additional height and density allowance for LEED certification, increased height up to 12 units per acre in town centers, yeah, that's only as a conditional use.
And the height's been discussed, not by ordinance or anything, just numbers have been flying around, 60 foot, 62 foot?
Well, just from 22. From a...
That's just a number, just, it'd have to go through ordinance again, it's the same thing.
Compared to what's allowed now.
I think we're ready for that. I think the county's ready for an overall height adjustment, frankly.
More for hotel type activity.
In your C1 areas. I mean, you know, the whole height thing, I think, all started with Sea Colony, not wanting to cast a shadow on the beach at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I think that still needs to be protected. And I think if you're within a certain distance of the shoreline, you have to be under a certain height. But
well, at one time, you could there wasn't a height limitation.
I know. I'm saying we needed
multifamily structures, and that was the problem.
Right.
You could build a building that was 165 square, 165 feet tall at one time.
That's right.
Now we've got it down to 42 foot.
Right.
Or 45 foot. And but still the 165 length or width.
But you would only, number three, if you would only get the height and the density if you were LEED certified.
That's the suggestion, yeah.
And you were in a town center.
And you were in a town center.
And you got conditional use approval for it.
And you got a conditional use.
Not automatic.
So it's not automatic. So essentially you get the right to apply, and the suggestion is that you would perhaps get it if you, unless there was some other reason not to do it. You know, that's why the conditional use is tacked on there, just in case there's some reason, some countervailing reason not to do it.
Likewise, with the conditional use, that would, you know, as you know, you can condition it. So
right.
You could determine what height maybe would be appropriate, you know,
yeah, you
given
get,
the circumstance.
Well, you get to pick the height, the conditional use. We pick the height.
Well, right now, the individual would have to go to the Board of Adjustment and apply for a variance in the height, and it has been done. Typically, because since we changed our ordinance from, you know, for example, 35-foot average between mean and the peak of the roof.
Right.
We made it 42 foot max. Then people that come in and want to put in the widow's watch or the crow's nest or the cupola on top had to go to the board.
Or just a parapet high enough to keep somebody from falling off the roof.
Right. That's, yeah. In that case, too, that's actually been where they basically looked like a fence going around the roof. And it was actually because they had a patio up on the roof.
Mm-hmm. It was higher than 42
feet. It was higher than 42 feet. The only thing you'd be allowed to encroach would be the chimney. To meet other codes, so we allow the chimney to increase.
Right.
So it would be a Board of Adjustment action.
Right. Density bonus for cluster developments, possible increase of density bonus from 4 to 6 units.
Well, this was handed out.
Per acre in town centers.
That's what I think.
Density bonus proffer fee for open space would be payable for additional units.
And it's basically an expansion of the proffer ordinance that we have now, which allows for greater density.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
One point I want to make, these are addendums that were available as of April 3rd, which was prior to the public hearing by both the Planning Commission and the County Council.
Right.
So,
I see that.
These are, in one sense, they're not new. This is the first time that you have
that
addressed
we've discussed them
specifically,
them, yeah. Right.
But they were available for the public to see at both the public hearings, and so we're not springing this on as
right.
A new
this isn't something new. Okay.
Ideas.
Again, this would be another incentive.
Yes. And again, it will be subject to a specific ordinance that will have criteria or whatever would be appropriate, have to go through the public hearing comment period, your review, council review, et cetera. And green community is what I tried to explain is still under development.
How is this different than the bonus density that we have now? Where you pay into for increased density?
Number of units.
Yeah.
It goes from what?
The current is essentially double from 2 to 4. This would be from 4 to 6.
Why don't we get rid of the one we've got now and just have this one?
That might be what we end up doing.
Replace it.
That would get them into town centers.
That might be what ended up happening.
You know.
But again, it's going to take ordinances to do it.
Yeah.
Either a new one or an amendment to the existing one.
Well, I'm just, yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, apparently any place you can do a cluster development, you can get the bonus density, and it kind of doesn't make, you know, I'm not sure it's going to work out in practice all that well.
This one applies only to town centers.
That's what I mean.
It does not apply to the,
yeah.
The point I'm making is that it doesn't apply to the environmentally sensitive, which is the area of concern.
Right, exactly.
So there would then be two ways to increase bonus density. Outside the town center, 2 to 4.
Yeah.
And inside the town center, 4 to 6.
2 to 6.
Yeah.
Unless we amend it.
Unless we amend it, change, delete the other method, and have this way. You know, if the.
Keep in mind, sorry.
Go ahead.
I'd say keep in mind, too, like we were just saying, if it's zone GR or HR or MR already, you know. In a town center area, then you've got the additional density.
Yeah, but if the state is asking us, and not without some, I don't disagree necessarily, but they do want us to try to direct it. And if you're trying to build out from the town from the towns to the sound center to the developing area to, you know, then let's the closer we move it to the towns and.
Have greater incentives.
Greater incentive, and the more it complies with what they want us to do. And because the, you know, my concern about the cluster as it is now is it's kind of all over the place, you know.
And then number 6 on the list of suggested addendums makes reference to wastewater treatment, and those were presented both at the commission and the council's public hearing as a change of wording.
Right.
This
right.
one, though, this is the one that came
that
up.
Was discussed.
That it needs to be consistent in both places.
Yeah,
because remember, the wastewater
right.
element didn't necessarily pick up the initial introduction.
Yeah, but they're changing the word.
Yeah.
They're changing the word prohibited to limited and
right.
the word reduced or eliminated to reduced.
Right.
And that was suggested by the utility companies.
Green community projects. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, I think everybody knows in general terms what it means. Is there anything more specific you can tell us?
I don't want to put our guest on the spot, but I think he's got a better
handle. Not a guest. He's being paid to be here. And we love him. Go ahead. You got to tell us who you are again.
For the record, Brian Hall, Office of State Planning. In reference to green communities, a little bit of background, this came about as a discussion with incentives by Department of Natural Resources to incentivize green development, not just in Sussex County, but statewide.
Right.
The Department of Natural Resources has earmarked several individuals to begin putting this on the immediate fast track. In other words, they're now going through an internal review process to consolidate the necessary reviews and permittings to give the incentive, which is a streamlined process.
Right.
But the general outline that has been tentatively discussed, and bear in mind, we are in the infancy of this discussion,
right.
is that this would be a tier or scoring system. In other words, there would be anywhere from 10 to 14 different potential elements talking about open space design, recreation, contiguous, of natural resources, accessibility, recreation, all these different things that preserves and protects natural resources.
Okay, we're talking about conservation, sustainability.
Correct. We're looking at conservation and conservation design, whether
right.
it be keeping lot lines and houses and new construction out of wetlands, for an example. Recreation would be inclusion of all aspects of recreation, not just passive but active recreation, such as your trails, tot lots, those types of aspects.
Protection of natural resources would be part of that?
That would be one consideration as well. One example would be tree preservation, potentially, if a project was 100 acres of trees and there was minimal impact and only cut down 10 acres of trees.
Protection of the inland bays?
That would be another element. Setbacks from water courses and wetlands as well, this whole discussion of buffer. The idea being is each of those elements would fall into a basic scorecard or a report card. Mm-hmm. Individuals would be scored from, for example, maybe 0 to 5 or 0 to 10. Based upon that score, you would receive a level of green certification. Maybe if you've got 50 out of 100 points, that would give you the brown or bronze star, and then so many more points might take you to silver, then to gold, and then finally on to green, which is zero or no impacts to a site.
Now, are people going to get anything for doing this?
The key that DENREC is focusing on is expediting permit and review processes.
Okay.
That's what they're looking at, and that has been based upon discussions with DENREC and the development community. That seems to be one of the significant challenges, is that depending upon the section that you're going through and the type of permit that you're seeking to achieve, whether it be stormwater, wastewater, whatever, that would be a consolidated situation where it wouldn't be 1 year for this, 18 months for the next one, et cetera.
The thing that's interesting to me about this is that it does not restrict development. In other words, if you were to require green community design, you haven't restricted development. You've just said it has to be green. It's got to comply. And I know that it's voluntary and we're trying to keep it on a positive basis, but especially in the environmentally sensitive district, it probably wouldn't be an unreasonable requirement. But I'm not suggesting that we want to put that into plan this time around, but I'm just simply telling you that to me, those are the kinds of things that make sense. And green design and construction does not necessarily mean that it costs more money. Granted, you may not get as many lots, but, in the future, you're probably not going to get as many lots anyway. It's obviously the direction we're going. I would encourage you to really press forward with that, because I think that's something that could be very important to us in the future. I think this is a great idea, although this business of expedited review has sort of gotten, we got a lot of ways to get expedited review, and expedited reviews are not going to be that fast anymore because everybody's expedited, so we're going to have to. I mean, that's a problem we have to fix. I mean, you can't do anything about that, Brian.
Well, it sounds like what he's saying is it's expedited through the state. I mean, is it the proposal with what's written here, expedited review from the county?
Well, it says
also?
County and state. Yeah, I don't know.
But I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, it would have to be what we recognize as key is at our end is, number one, we have to have a program that we can pitch and sell to you for buy-in and participation. Then number two would be where we can identify points to streamline and how we can connect, given that certain aspects of the review process in the county are solely done by the state, and then there's internal things. So it's not clear at this point how the internal expedited process for either side, whether it's the county or the state, is going to be done. Right now, we want to be able to have a package that we can sell you because there's been a significant amount of interest generated by this just by word of mouth at this point, and then look at the carrot and the stick. Consistently, all three counties, however, have mentioned that this expedited review seems to be something that
I think that's a powerful tool. I really do, especially if you're going to do it on the state level.
Right. It is geared at state level, and when you look at the three counties.
As I said before, that it's not. I have a problem when we start telling people you can't do it. But this is not saying that at all. This is saying, if you're going to do it, here's the way.
It gets back to the old argument from my days in forestry versus just sheer quantity or number of something versus quality
exactly.
of a product. And and going to, and what seemed to be really the spark of interest from the development community, which was key in approaching the secretary's office at DENREC to kind of encourage looking at this or some type of program, was their need to separate themselves from the masses, to have the opportunity not only as a streamlining for cost and expedition of a review, but also to have a product that was catering to a different market.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the two arguments that were presented to us, both of which kind of made sense given the housing situation that we have across the state.
And it's evolving. It's gonna be a process. But I appreciate the fact that you guys have grabbed into that.
Tentatively, December 1st is our target date.
Great.
So would expediting permitting be an incentive?
That's the key.
Oh, yeah.
That's
state level, yeah.
Particularly at the state level.
This review, but no, permitting.
But the whole thing, you can get it going.
Correct. What this is speaking well out of the box, because, again, we have not developed a product, but the idea is to focus initially internally at DENREC and then looking as we change potentially administrations with the election year and what new direction we have, looking at how we would broaden that out to other agencies with permitting reviews. That if a product does come in, promoting these, looking at these minimal aspects, doing all of these different things pre-on, what are other shops that we can explore? But right now we are focusing on DENREC, and we've got quite a few review process there to focus on in evaluating this opportunity. So, again, that's where we stand.
Good.
Does it encompass the nutrient loading protocols, best management practice, and air quality?
Yes, sir. That's the part of the 14-point checklist, or however many checklist it would be. It would encompass nutrient loading, your TMDLs, forest canopy, natural areas, air quality, all of those different aspects. At this point, they're trying to look at something that is manageable and reasonable. At first stab, we could very easily pull out a checklist with some 500 items if you go through all the various programs in DENREC as just as an example. So the goal will be to prioritize and streamline, but it will include the discussion of TMDLs, air quality, as well as some of the other aspects, buffering, wetlands, forest preservation, and so forth. Mr. Burke?
You mentioned that if you did a portion of the plan, you would get a brown star. So do you move from an expedition to an almost expedition?
That's that's the confusing part, and that's why I say it. We're very much in a preliminary. We're getting too much before the nuts.
Sits on the secretary's desk 15 days if you get a brown star, 10 days if you get a gold star.
This is one of the concepts that's looked at is looking at other programs. There are levels of green, essentially.
Yeah.
What is looking again at neighboring states, an applicant would come in and would pick up that green application and then potentially look at those things that either apply to the proposed project that he could participate in, because there's potentially some things that could not be, or could say, well, these are the things that I want to do or I'm comfortable with doing. At which point then looking at, again, neighboring states, if I say I'm only going to focus on stormwater, and let's say there are three elements that focus primarily on stormwater and I ignore the remaining dozen, then what may occur is that I would only get consideration for expedition on those direct permitting processes that I choose to participate in. You see where I'm headed with this? So,
in other words, you expedite stormwater, but you wouldn't expedite your highway permit.
Correct.
Right, but that's the other question. You didn't mention the highway.
No, that's the later on. Right now, because we are, again, this has only been on the books for 10 days, and it was thrown across my desk just last night, to really be able to look at that. The theory is that other areas where some variation of this type of program does exist, ultimately the inclusion of some type of discussion of highway permitting is done. And then the highways come in. At this point, we've got to have something to be able to sell, not only to you as a county to participate in the environmental component, but to be able to turn around and sell to a Department of Transportation or some other agency that may be able to participate, provide guidance, as well as give that additional carrot, which is the expedited review.
Because if you expedited somebody in one area and they ended up being 24 months in another area, you really didn't help.
You really haven't helped.
That's the amount. Nothing.
Yeah, but the intent is to get work with all the agencies to come up with a expedited review for that process.
Right. So
not just the Delta would be included.
And so I'm clear too. The expedited review, that's the agency's initial review. I mean, if there's a lot of, or at least there should be clarification, if, you know, if there's back and forth between somebody's engineering firm and the state, you lose your expedition, I think, probably. That, you know, assumes that you get it right the first time, I think.
Yeah, we're getting into the nuts and soup of how it might work. That's one of our key questions is what happens if you look at our current model, which is the stormwater, where I might come in with initial application, I didn't cut mustard, then I have to go back. Well, you know, do you actually expedite the process? And that's something that's going to have to be worked on the scoring component. Right.
What you're going to expedite is the time lag. You're not going to change that process. Yeah. That's the way it's always going to be.
Initial.
But, yeah, but you're instead of it taking 2 months to get your initial comments, maybe it takes 1 month.
Right.
And then instead of taking a month to get your follow-up comments, it only takes 2 weeks, you've cut the time in half. I don't think that the process will really... I don't think they can change the process, and I really think we need to give Brian and his gang time to work on this a little bit. But I would like to have you come back in a couple months and tell us how you're doing, because this is a smart thing.
We'd be happy to do so, sir.
So what we can do, Mr. Chairman, is we can embrace this as a theory.
Absolutely.
That may or may not work without taking on the onus of ironing out the details here.
Exactly.
Worst case scenario, that's, if it falls on its face,
right,
nobody will do it.
There's no effect. It just goes the way of the buggy whip.
And I would encourage you to don't rush to market with this. Take your time, figure out what really is possible and so on, and don't make it so cumbersome and complicated that nobody can understand it.
No, those are the two things that came out of the process. Our challenge right now, in all sincerity, is going through focusing primarily on the DENREC aspect and the natural resource side, is reviewing the five commissions and looking at where there's duplication of activity, number one.
Yeah.
And then number two, looking at how we can better coordinate and streamline. Okay. So, I know that we are all, not just our shop, but staff at DENREC charged with this, kind of under the gun to get this thing rolled out sooner rather than later. And I know that the Secretary's office has been toting this idea of December 1st. Mm-hmm. I think we may have something, you know, to really give you something to chew on for maybe some initial impact, but by no means do I think it's going to be, you know, a fully assembled tractor or automobile ready to take out into the field and see if it'll go. I think we'll still have additional work to do.
Well, you've got up until, what's the inauguration day in January?
January 21st or January 18th. I get my states confused.
Assuming you survive the election. So.
I don't know. I might not survive the budget cuts. You never know. So I'm not focusing on the election.
Somehow, I'll tell you what. If you feel like you're in danger, we'll take up a collection. Okay?
Well, I always say that tree trimming is still a viable practice. And, never forget your roots. So.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you,
you're permanent.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm sorry.
Concerning what we're looking at, Mr. Chairman, and one of the areas that's of concern to me is that of the density bonus. I think that given some of our recent public hearings that we've had, as well as those in the past when we've been close to towns or town centers, the development that's being applied for isn't welcome to start with. And here, if we're going to turn around and increase possibly the density of it, I would anticipate that we'd have greater resistance to those projects. So that particular point, I have a serious problem with. Where we've been dealing with, you know, 2 units per acre, and then we, with our bonus density program, we've yet to approve a project, for that with additional units, to leapfrog now to seek to six is of concern to me from a planning standpoint. And in particular, I would be very concerned about this added density bonus in the environmentally sensitive development district, if that's what it's, wherever you call that. Oxymoron.
The town center, you mean?
No, the town center. If it's in an environmentally sensitive area, to then load it up even more,
well,
units per acre. I don't know if there's someone can give me a reasonable argument as why.
Why we should or shouldn't?
Should.
Why we should?
Why we should?
I think the only argument that can be made is that it's being done in an effort to focus the growth where the state says they want it. It but your point is well taken that might be the goal, but not everybody's necessarily on board with that when it's next to your town, you know. And the towns do have certainly an interest in what's going on immediately outside their borders, and I don't know what the answer is to that.
Well, I think one is
to go slow.
One area is being addressed in the proposed update in terms of the sub-area planning. I think that's critical that we pursue that and put that in a place where, if we're looking at a project that's going to impact on the city of Lewis or town of Milton or town of Georgetown, that, you know, that they're involved in that planning process. But maybe we're going out the wrong way. Instead of giving the incentives for more density, have the areas that are in the rural area less dense, you know, not do the cluster development in the rural areas.
Well, that was kind of subdivision. What I was alluding to earlier was maybe the trade-off's going to be that we don't
drop one of the plans.
The only problem I see with that is if you take cluster out of the AR1, you're going to go back to the old cookie cutter subdivisions. And with open space is a lot better than half, three-quarter of acre lots with no open space.
I agree. The cookie cutter subdivisions are not an effective use of open space, but perhaps we can incorporate an open space requirement in the standard subdivisions.
I know there's somebody here that's got some insight and has been involved in town government and town planning and zoning, and I'm going to ask Mr. Tyler if you would be kind enough to come up and chat with us for a minute. In 100 words or less, if you would give us your perspective on this.
Mike Tyler, City of Lewis. One of the things I said at the County Council's hearing about the plan was that cluster development in and of itself is a bonus because the developer does not have to pay for more roads, more clearing, and those kinds of things. And so we recommended no density bonuses for cluster development. We also recommended no density bonuses in the environmentally sensitive area.
Bonus, that's the issue.
It's the density bonus is really the issue because a developer, if he knows what the rules are, he will follow those rules. And if you say, look, you're going to do cluster development, we're going to expedite. You're not only going to save in your construction work, we're going to expedite your process if you use cluster. So, Mr. Gordy, you'll still retain the density in a given area. It's just going to be cluster, and guess what? We'll move you up on the line. You'll eliminate the need for clearing of land. Your roads will be smaller because you don't have to have a big infrastructure being built there. So that's a concern I think that we've raised, the Citizens Coalition has raised, and I think even as we're looking at development in and around Lewis, as we're concerned about.
What do you think about this issue regarding the town center? So it's more, I mean, this is getting closer and closer. That's the closest thing we have to your boundary.
And it makes sense to have that kind of development in or near in a town center because the reason is infrastructure's there.
Right.
And infrastructure does not simply mean a road. You know, you've got all the things that you need, hospitals, schools. However, without intergovernmental relationship between the towns, is this what the kind of development that you want? Or this is what's coming here. We want your take on it. And you're getting more participation, perhaps, from different towns as things develop. But, you know, that's where the development should be. But, you know, as Mr. Johnson said, you know, go to 4 to 6, you're pumping up the density in areas that maybe is not going to be capable of handling it. The concern that was raised in the Lewis discussions was that what kind of, everybody was focusing on traffic. Well, how's that going to encumber Lewis? It's going to basically be a real problem.
Well, maybe a way to deal with that would be if there had to be a conditional use process attached to it.
Conditional use is a very smart planning tool because then you can establish the conditions that...
Well, and that gives, if the town has an objection, it gives them a forum in which to...
To manage it, yes.
You know, so...
But if the town center has the infrastructure,
yeah,
then it's named a town center.
Correct.
So then the increased density could be handled there.
It could be, and there has to be a more compelling reason other than we just don't want it.
Okay? Exactly.
And that's the whole point. Yes, the town center is the place it belongs. What the towns, I think, want is an opportunity to look at it, comment, and in the extreme case, to object to it. But I think they all understand, or I'll put it this way, you need to understand, just because you don't want it,
Not good enough.
That's not good enough. There has to be some other reason.
Well, you know, you have adequate public facilities ordinances that can be structured to tell you that this is the appropriate place to put this kind of density or this numbers in this area because it can handle it. But what we're doing is, you know, we're promoting development in places where maybe the adequate facilities aren't there. The roads can't handle it. The school children have to travel farther on buses. There's no medical. There's no police protection, those kinds of things. So all those things, if you had in concert with what you're doing, an adequate public facilities ordinance, that certainly would be able to look at it in a package. And that would make sense. And again, what you said, the conditional use proposal or approach gives you at least some leeway.
Yeah. Okay. Agreed. Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. Anybody else? I think we agree number 7 is basically a language change, or number 6, rather, is a language change. Number 7 is the map, which we've already done. We're undoubtedly going to get another edition of the land use plan, so I don't think we necessarily want to make a motion on it tonight. But
the one thing about these 6 issues, the 7 ones, like you said, the map discussion, they would be additional ordinances that would go along with the 23 we've already listed.
And
the land use plan needed to be worked on.
Exactly.
And some of them are actually a part of those if you looked at the list.
That's exactly.
Page 2-10, but it lists some of these of sorts. Just had to expand upon them a little bit.
Some good work's gone into this. We're almost there.
Can I make a, just because you brought that up, just Lawrence, if you'd put in the minutes. When I was looking at this before, I mean, we all know that 2-10 is a list of the ordinance, but it doesn't really say that. There's not a heading or any indication. It's sort of just that page hung out there with 23 things on it.
Well, if you read the text in the paragraph before, it kind of leads into it, but
yeah,
it doesn't really say.
You may want to clean the language up.
Just if you could pass that on to Paul.
It stated that each ordinance on this list will receive meaningful evaluation.
Right.
Then he gives you the list of 23.
It
just needs a title.
Yeah.
And I should title.
Do we have an idea of when these ordinances will be drafted and implemented as a part of this plan?
We have to recommend, the council's got to adopt, and the state's got to show their support
for the plan.
Before the consultants will then start preparing the ordinances so that we can then go to our normal public hearing process to consider.
The ordinances are just like any other ordinance. It has to be introduced to county council.
Yeah.
So county council is the gatekeeper. It gets sent to planning and zoning. There's a hearing with a recommendation, then it goes back to county council for action.
Rodney, the conversations I've had with different ones about how that's going to work is, I think we're going to see is they're going to be introduced in a certain group. You'll get 3 or 4, and then at a certain time interval, you get 3 or 4 more. And so that we can't do 23 at once, you know. But there has been some commitment expressed to get on it, and the consultant, at least when I, in my conversations I've had with them, they know that that's got to follow quickly on the heels, because we can't string it out for 5 years. We've got to get it done.
And I believe they've been doing some of the back.
Well, I know they're working on them as they go. They're not, you know.
They don't have anything to present right now, right. but they're not doing a night. It's not right, isolated.
But at least it's going to get done this time. So.
And then.
I mean, I'm confident that it's going to get done.
Taking it from there and then getting the ordinances adopted. Is there a time?
18 months.
18 months. So that's reasonably aggressive, too, for 23 or 25 ordinances.
Yeah, probably more pushing, maybe pushing 30 time we get done.
Yeah, I was going to say you actually.
There's some other things in there some of these will require other changes.
Right. You're going to have more than this, like Lawrence said, probably more like 30 35.
Even. It'll be a steady flow of ordinances for the next 18 months.
I think we can count on having one or two on just about every agenda for a while.
But there will be discussion on these 23. In 18 months.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Be public hearings.
Get them all done.
And hopefully decisions rendered.
We're going to be busy. We're going to have six meetings a month in 2009. Oh, I forgot to tell you that. That's why Mr. Baker's here. He's here evaluating our stamina to see if how much more of this we can take.
So, and the 18-month time limit is in?
That's statutory.
No, it's statutory.
Why didn't it happen last time?
You know, I think it's important for us to look forward to the task ahead. Okay.
Just trying to figure out what happened.
All the ordinances that were required to be considered were written. There were some that went to council, and they basically said they considered not to consider them.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
Very.
That they weren't. The land use plan was written with the word considered in quite a few places, and they decided that they considered them. They weren't going to bring them forward for public input.
Right.
Just a couple of them that didn't get considered. It was like three major ones that should have been considered. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to take action on the addendums as far as that they should be included in the?
I think the consensus is that they should be.
Just do it by consensus.
Do you want a motion?
That's fine. Because consensus is fine.
You have to act on
them. You got
to
alter and act on it anyway.
Well, then let's get them in there. And
because keep in mind, if it gets in there in a draft and we get that draft back and you don't like it, you can, in your recommendation to county council, say, I don't like it. You know, what you're basically saying at this point is we want to see it fleshed out a little bit in the draft.
Well, basically that would be that the consensus that items 2 through 6 of the suggested addendums be incorporated into the plan.
With exception of, I don't agree with number 4.
Would it be acceptable if it were modified to show it as a conditional use?
I think that addresses your concern, Mike, because if your concern is for the town, then we give the town a vehicle to come in and tell us why we shouldn't do it.
Well, it's not just the town. It's also what the impact that it has on the area, and that it's not addressing the issue of it, the environmentally sensitive area in terms of being included in or being subject to now 6 per acre.
Maybe it needs to be the town center's not in an environmentally sensitive area.
Well, I don't know that the town center, they're not. Lawrence, they're not overlapping districts, right? I mean,
see, I don't think you're.
The town center is distinct from the environmental.
It's mapped,
right?
Yeah. There are no town centers within the environmentally sensitive.
Right,
separate. So this to the town.
Geographically, they might be in the same area.
Aren't in the environmentally overlapping.
If you look, the environmentally sensitive area doesn't include any town centers as far as the counties.
Like all the way around it, but
it may include some within the towns. Right. Own plans, but not in the county plan.
So geographically, it could be in the same area as an environmentally sensitive development district, but it's called the town center,
right.
Which is a separate development district.
Right. Yep. I think in some respects, that some of us may have, and myself included, may have more of an issue with what we've got now than what this is. This makes fairly good sense to me, but I think there needs to be a vehicle for the towns to be able to have some input, and that's probably the conditional use.
And the conditional use, while it's not perfect, it does allow for consideration of things that would otherwise be part of an adequate public facilities ordinance.
It allows you to place conditions and stipulations to pretty much whatever extent you feel is needed, and that's what I think is good about it.
So to the extent that whatever public facility would be appropriate, if it's not adequate, then you can make a condition that would deal with that.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
Well, the density bonus for a cluster development, the way it's just suggested, addendum doesn't include any reference to a conditional use.
Well, that's what we're saying, is that we want one.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm just making it clear, but we have to make that
part of the
addition.
Recommendation.
That would
okay,
be
is there a is that a consensus that we're agreeing with number four, as long as it contains the conditional use?
I'm in agreement with that, because not all the town centers are controversial town centers.
That's true.
I'm thinking that there's all these municipalities, and while I voted with Mr. Johnson on a recent, shall we say, controversial town center type density bonus, there may be a town like Ellendale, there may be a town like Del Mar, Greenwood, Georgetown, that may really embrace this extra density and say, you know, my God, you know, we're loving this.
Right.
And I think we should afford them the opportunity, and then the makeup of the commission can decide.
Right. And go ahead.
As a part of that, I think that there may be occasion when that the 6 units per acre would be appropriate, especially in a moderately priced housing program where, you know, it reduces the land costs and infrastructure costs to permit a development that would be more reasonably priced. So I can see where that can come into play.
And the conditional use could also reduce the number of units from 6 to 5.
Right.
See, that's the other, you know, the great value of the conditional use is the flexibility.
Oh, I agree. And I'm much more at ease with that than just saying you're able to put in 6.
Yeah.
Boom.
And
we're stuck with whatever comes our way.
Once again, we make a recommendation to council, then council deals with it. You know, it's not like a straight subdivision where it's just us. So, I mean, I think it gets people in the process.
One thing, just to maybe tile this up and help out, I guess Rick or Lawrence, is there any way that you can talk to URDC about getting, we have the March draft, and there's a consensus that's going to create a revised draft.
I was going to say, there's got to be another draft
coming.
Can
you have them do a red line version of that? Because, like, these 6 items are going to get lost in the text.
Well,
you know, so
what we're dealing with now is time, trying to get our 60-day action
or somewhere
by council.
Some method, you know, that the commission can say, all right, here's where the LED certification issue is addressed in the comp plan. You know, so there's some
sticky notes.
There you go, sticky tablet.
Well, we need Mr. Johnson's plus comment organization. We need the new stuff in red.
Because I know, I mean, I've seen, this is the fourth version of this I've seen, and by the time I've gone through the second version, the third version's already out, I'm keeping track of it. I mean, we're pretty close to the end.
Put the new stuff in red.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him about it.
Yeah. Just talk to him, see if it's feasible.
Your edits from this point forward in red so we can find them.
And I think that would be beneficial for the public.
For everybody, sure. Yeah. A lot easier to deal with.
And that can't be that hard with the word processing, I'm sure they have.
Okay, anyone else have anything for the good of the order, Mr. Lang?
Yeah, was there anything that you heard or read from the written comments we received at the public hearing on April 3rd that you feel should be addressed? Or anything you found in the review of the text of the document that you feel should be addressed? In addition to what we've discussed today.
Yes, sir, I do.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
And one of those was brought up by the Citizens Coalition, and that's having to do with the timing of the public hearings. You know, so many times we as a commission do not have an opportunity to present our recommendations to council before they have their public hearing. And I think it would behoove the whole process if council's public hearing was not held until after we submitted our findings and recommendations.
That's not
only does that give council the benefit of our input, it also gives the public an opportunity perhaps to respond or be prepare their responses or their presentation to council. I know that many times our public hearings are like a warm-up, so to speak, for the applicant. They judge what our responses are during the public hearing, and they perhaps their presentation is entirely different to council. And I know I, for one, have had more than one occasion when I've made recommendations to council based on our public hearing, and council had already had a public hearing, and they had a different presentation. So I felt like, I was a fish out of water making recommendations. And, our hands are basically tied because we make recommendations based on the information presented to us during the public hearing.
And that would be right, because what you're making a decision on, what you heard in public session, what you received.
Correct.
What the council gets, and we don't allow for cross-examination or rebuttal. So what happens is the commission makes a recommendation. The applicant's privy to that information that was heard from the opponents and the commission. They go to council with a somewhat different presentation.
Yes.
Well, I think
because they're responding to some of the opposition that they got to hear. And what we're also finding more recently is that some opponents don't appear before the commission. They go directly to council so that the applicant doesn't have been privy to that opposition.
And contrary to that, too, Mr. Lank, I'm aware of people who did not go to council because they came to planning and zoning and thought that's all they had to do, and they never showed up for council. So there's times that
the applicant
or the opponents to a project.
On occasion, that's true.
Have not shown up because they thought it was already addressed.
But they are privy with a copy of both public notices at the same time.
I don't think there's much we can do about that. And really, I think what we're talking about here is an ordinance issue more than a land use plan issue. But it's a good time to bring it up.
And even the applicant sometimes doesn't appear to council because we didn't make a recommendation yet, and they assume that there isn't going to be a council meeting. But they didn't ask.
Is there any reason why that couldn't be modified? I mean, it would take an ordinance to do it, I guess. But
no, that process is just trying to make sure to remind them that they need to appear at council during the public hearing.
As far as revamping, I'm talking the overall issue.
It could be.
Would that need an ordinance?
I'm not sure. Governs how they're scheduled now.
The time element is by ordinance. So, yeah, it would have to be changed.
What we do now is that we have a annual schedule.
Right.
For when the commission meetings are and how they relate, those meetings relate to the council schedule.
Right.
So typically it's 2.5 to 3 weeks apart.
Because I'm not sure. I'll go back and research it, but I'm not sure that there's anything that specifically says when
the
council meeting has to be in conjunction with planning and zoning.
And as far as land use plan is concerned, probably 97 was the last time, but the commission reviewed, established the land use plan itself, and then made a recommendation to council, then the council held a public hearing, just like Mike suggested. Mm-hmm. That's the way it was done in years past. Commission made a recommendation of a plan, the council gave consideration to the plan submitted to them, and it was in final form by the commission. And they may change or they may adopt, but they would go to a public hearing of that document to do that.
But what Mike's talking about, you're talking about overall, though, with conditional uses change.
I know, I'm just saying, but he referenced the
plan
first.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so that's what we're discussing.
Right.
It's worth looking into.
Yeah, because we typically try and respond within the 45-day time frame. So, from a scheduling standpoint, I would think that's something that's predictable.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Council, anything?
No, thank you.
Mr. Lank, anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. Stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing. Yes, ma'am.
May I speak today?
Am I going to enjoy this, or?
No, I don't know. It's up to you.
I keep taping.
No, we're off just.